friend we have in Jesus. Amen. All right, take your Bible, turn to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we'll look at a few verses in Nehemiah chapter 2 in just a moment. But May is Missions Month, and I've been preparing you for this for some time, that all through the month of May, all of the preaching and teaching is going to be focused and centered on missions. We're going to have some special emphasis as well in tract distribution. We're going to have some special prayer meetings lined up leading up into our missions conference, which is June 2nd through the 7th. And so the whole emphasis and theme and focus of the month is missions, as we prepare our hearts for what the Lord would have in store for us in our conference, and the Lord would even be working in us well before that ever comes around, that our hearts would be tuned, our hearts would be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the leading of the Lord. And tonight, I want to preach a message called A Mind to Work. A Mind to Work, and it's something the Lord's laid on my heart for encouragement to us as we begin and lead into our missions conference. And tonight we're going to take a look at Nehemiah, a man who was committed to the Lord, a man who showed his commitment to the Lord in his actions. And I want us to read, and we'll briefly consider tonight some things about Nehemiah and make some applications toward missions here tonight as I preach on this subject, A Mind to Work. Look at verse 1 down through verse 8 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shalt thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him, set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let's pray, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd challenge us and encourage us tonight with these principles, these truths found in Nehemiah and the kind of man that he was and how he showed his devotion to the Lord and his commitment to the Lord in his actions. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us in the work of missions. Lord, as we set forth to be obedient to the command of Christ for this body, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, that this church, this body, would take the responsibility personally, Lord, that it is our job and our duty personally to preach the gospel. And Lord, that you'd raise up and call men from among us. Lord, that you'd use each one in their own personal lives, their own personal sphere of influence, Lord, to be a mouthpiece and a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that they know, people they love. And Lord, that we would have a heart and a burden for the souls of men around us. And Lord, that when our faith is increased, and Lord, we are strengthened, that the gospel would move into the regions beyond us. And Lord, we pray that you would challenge your people here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make some applications from this passage here tonight in the things in the life of Nehemiah and show how he was dedicated to the Lord and how his devotion was demonstrated by his actions. The first thing I want you to look at is in verse 3 with me. We see that Nehemiah was a man who had a vision and a man who was broken over the need. In verse 3, the Bible says, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Nehemiah was a man who had a vision, a man who was broken over the need. His countenance was sad, the Bible says, because the city, his home, the place that he loved was desolate. It lied in waste. It was broken down. The walls were broken down. It was in need of repair. There was destruction. There was chaos all around. You read about that in the next two chapters of the book of Nehemiah, exactly what it looked like. But it didn't seem like there was anyone doing anything about it. And here's Nehemiah, miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles away, who has a vision for his home, has a burden for the need. People were left unprotected. The people he loved and cared about were in need. But notice with me that he knew all of this, and he wasn't even in Jerusalem. He had heard about this. Go back to chapter 1 in verse 2. Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left are of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Here is a man who heard the words that the people were in great affliction, the people were in reproach, the walls were broken down, the gates were burned with fire, and the Bible says that it caused him to weep and to mourn certain days and to fast and to pray before the God of heaven. Nehemiah was not a man of indifference. He was deeply moved over the condition, and it caused him to pray to the Lord. He wasn't there, and yet he saw the need, and it moved his heart, and it stirred him in his soul to the point of desiring and wanting to take action and do something about it. And friend, let me make an application here tonight. A vision and a burden over the need is exactly what God's people need concerning the souls of men in this world. Friends, look, we see it all around us. All around us, we see people are in need. We see that lives are ruined by sin. We see that our culture is corrupt and our society is broken and people are blind to the need of their own soul. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And the Bible says that some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. I think of the natives of Alaska. We've been talking about them and praying about the Lord opening up a door of ministry somehow to preach the gospel to natives all across our state. What a needy, needy ministry. What a people group that are so, so much in need. You talk about walls being broken down. You talk about people in affliction and reproach. Listen, we're not there with our boots on the ground at times in villages, but how many lives are ruined and destroyed because of alcohol and because of drug addictions and generation after generation after generation consumed. Go out into eternity without the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we don't see how bad it really is. And sometimes we live in a fool's paradise on purpose. We don't want to see. If we only see desolation on Sundays when people walk through our doors will never see the heaps and heaps of ruined lives on a Saturday night. We see all around us as lives are ruined by sin, and there's no quick fix for that. But we have answers in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you seen the need tonight? Nehemiah was a man who had a vision, who was broken over the need. And listen, we're coming into our missions conference, and we're going to have evangelists who will come in, and they'll show us how the people are in need. They'll show us their burden and their vision, and we'll see what God is doing. But the question still remains, do you have a vision? Are you burdened over the need? Am I? Can we see the need tonight? Nehemiah, in chapter 2, if you look over in verse 12, once he got to Judah and Jerusalem, we see what he experienced in verse 12. And I rose in the night, and I saw, and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung court, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. Nehemiah went out by night to view the city and view the desolation, and it was so bad that there wasn't even a spot for his beast that was under him to pass, to walk through, because the walls were just broken down and no one was doing anything about it. Nehemiah had it in his heart, and God had put something in his heart. And he had a vision, and he was broken, and it caused him to move and to act. But let me say this to you tonight, a vision is not just acknowledging the fact that there is a real need there. I mean, we can look all around us tonight and we can acknowledge mentally that yes, people are broken in sin and that people are consumed and yes, there's a need. We can give mental assent to that tonight, but a vision is not just acknowledging the fact that there's a real need. A vision is something that you see. A vision is something that you feel in your soul so much that it burdens you in your heart and drives you to your knees to pray to the God of heaven. Nehemiah, in verse 4 of chapter 1, when he had heard the report, the Bible says that he mourned and he wept certain days and he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. He went to the one who's the only one who could really do something about it. Listen, what is it that keeps a mother faithfully praying for the salvation of a wayward son day in and day out, month after month, year after year? What is it that keeps her faithfully praying for his soul? It is a burden for his soul. It is a vision that doesn't fade away. What is it that keeps a mother praying for her children, that God would begin to get a hold of their heart as they come to an age of accountability? It's a burden inside that drives them and moves their soul. What is it that keeps an evangelist on the field for 25 to 30 years? It's a burden and a vision of the great need that moves his very soul. This is what a vision is. Have you seen and felt a vision in the need? Listen, when we talk about a ministry to natives in Alaska, this cannot be one man or two men's vision and burden. This has got to be the vision of Black Road Baptist Church. As a whole, people who are consumed inside of them, that these are lost souls that are bound for eternity, that it's our job to preach the gospel to every creature there in our Judea and our Samaria. And we are to, and listen, if there's anybody who's responsible to preach the gospel to them, it's us. Are you burdened? I try to share with you, and I try to keep it in front of you, because I need the same thing. I need it in front of me. That God would begin to just pour His Spirit out and burden our soul. That, listen, this is collectively the vision and the burden of Plaque Road Baptist Church. I think sometimes saints of God have a hard time staying faithful. And part of the reason is because we don't have a vision. A vision helps us to stay focused. It helps us to stay faithful. You know, we come into Missions Month and we're leading up to Missions Conference, and maybe life goes on as normal, and sometimes maybe people feel like, well, I really didn't get anything out of that conference. But I would ask the question, is it because we've not allowed God to open our eyes to the need and give us a vision and a burden for the souls of men? The theme of our Missions Conference this year is the Lord of the Harvest. Taken from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. In verse 37, where Jesus says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. The theme is the Lord of the harvest. And the thought is to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into His harvest. And I wonder how many Christians there are who don't really want to open up, who don't really want to yield their life to the Lord, because if they truly allowed the Lord to work in their heart, then God would stir them up, and that would mean that things in their life would have to change, and they would have to give up maybe their own wants and their own desires. And the Lord of the harvest just might call and send forth into the harvest field. Some are content to just give to missions because that way they can still have things their own way. But sometimes it's hard for Christians to stay faithful because they don't have a vision. They still want things their own way. There's no burden. There's no vision. And what we need is to always keep it before our eyes and something that moves us to action in our soul. And listen, I'm not just talking about going to a foreign field. I'm not just talking about being called to preach. How about a vision for your neighbors? How about a vision for your coworkers? I've probably asked this before, but if I asked for a show of hands, I wonder how many saints of God, if they were honest, would have to admit that I've never really even introduced myself to my neighbor, let alone given him a gospel tract or tried to be a witness to them. This is the kind of thing that we need today. Just like Nehemiah, only with the souls of men, to see the desolation, to cause us to weep and to mourn and to pray. To cause us to be to the point where we need to do something about it. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Go to John chapter 4 with me. John chapter 4, and look what Jesus says to His disciples in John 4. Jesus, the Bible says, must needs go through Samaria because He had an appointment with the woman at the well to preach unto her the gospel and give her the water of life. And this woman was gloriously saved. But then you move on down through the passage and you get down to verse 31. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought Him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Jesus said, my sustenance and my satisfaction is to do of the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. The disciples completely missed all of this. Their focus and their mentality was so on the temporal that they couldn't see the spiritual or the eternal. You get down to the next verse, and Jesus says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? I've always been fascinated by the fact that that's a question that Jesus asked. There's a question mark at the end of that. Don't you guys say that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Here was a situation where Jesus says to his disciples, look, they had just gone into this town to buy food. And when they come back, they're like, Master, eat. And Jesus says, my sustenance and my satisfaction is to do the will of the Lord. And he said, and Jesus says, look, don't you guys say that it's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? We've got time. And he says, no, what you need to do right now is lift up your eyes and look, because the fields are white to harvest. The place that you were just at to buy food is a harvest field and it's ready. But you couldn't see it, because you're focused on the temporal. This was really a rebuke to his disciples, because the place that they were just at was a harvest field, and they missed it. I wonder if sometimes God's people are like that, where we don't even notice, because we're too caught up in the temporal, in the here and the now, and making money for today, and stocking it away for tomorrow, that we don't lift up our eyes and look on the fields. We need a vision, a burden that keeps us focused. And let's not be like those disciples where, hey, we've got time. We've got time, but to look and see the need now. Nehemiah was a man who had a vision, who was broken over the need. Please go back to our text, Nehemiah 2. Second thing that we see in verses 4 and 5 is that Nehemiah was a man who had a desire to do the work. He had a vision. He was broken. He had a desire to do the work. In verse 4, the Bible says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Not only did he have a vision, not only was he broken over the need, but it was inside of him to do something about it, to do the work. Listen, Nehemiah wasn't a delegator. He was a worker himself. He didn't ask to send somebody else to build. He said, send me, that I may build it. That seems to me just to be a natural result from the burden that moved his soul to begin with. And let me make this application here tonight, friends, that the work of missions needs to be a personal responsibility type of work. A work that says, send me, that I may do the work. Now some people might say, well, I can't go. And I realize that it's not possible for everyone, but it's the principle that I'm talking about here tonight, a heart attitude that says, if I could, I would. And would God want every man in this church to have that kind of an attitude? If I could, I would. If the Lord would call, I would. My heart is open. Lord, if that's your will, then I'll do it. But I'll do whatever you want right now, right here. Too many times we're delegators, though. We give so someone else can go, but never really take on the personal responsibility of my job. Now, there are things to do. And certainly God's people are faithful in many, many things. This is not a rebuke here tonight. Not a rebuke at all. You know, there are evangelists that we support that we need to hold up in prayer. But the question is, do we pray as much as we should or could? We give to meet special needs. And by the way, praise the Lord, those Bibles for the preacher boys in training, all the money came in for those that you graciously gave. Praise the Lord for that. We will never know this side of eternity, this side of heaven, how many souls will be saved as a result of the dollars you gave so a preacher boy could study God's word and then God takes him and uses him to lead a soul to Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But there are other things. We need to stay up to date with what's happening with our evangelists, missionaries, so that we know what to pray for. We read a prayer letter every Wednesday night, as much as we possibly can. But you get them in email. Do you read them? Do you pray for them? And then being a faithful and personal witness here, right here where you're at, with those in your sphere of influence. I'm just saying, Nehemiah wasn't a delegator. Nehemiah didn't say, send somebody else to do the work. He said, send me so I can build it. Let's not be the kind of people that are delegators. We'll just give to missions so someone else can go. I wonder, though, if all too often saints don't have a desire for the work or take the responsibility personally because we're just too consumed in our own life and our own future plans. I have to ask the Lord to forgive me of that very thing. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. I told you Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38 is the text or where we are getting our theme for our missions conference, the Lord of the Harvest. But in Luke chapter 10, the same words are given. Luke 10 in verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. What was Jesus' will and desire? To send them forth. And to pray that the Lord would send forth more laborers into the harvest. Who were the ones that he was sending? His very disciples. This is not just talking about preachers, though. The harvest is here. And the harvest is in your sphere of influence. And you may be the only one, church member, who can have that kind of an impact in their life for eternity. Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send the laborers. And say like Isaiah. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah then said, here am I, Lord, send me. Nehemiah had a desire to do the work. Isaiah had a desire to do the work. Go back to our text. We'll see the third and the last thing here tonight. And it's interesting, later on, we'll read this verse in just a minute. But the people that Nehemiah went to, the Bible says, also had a mind to work, to get the work done. But the third thing I want you to look at is in the second part of verse 4, and then skip down to verse 7 and verse 8. The second part of verse 4 says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. The question was, for what dost thou make request? As soon as the king asked that, Nehemiah went to his knees and he said, Lord, what should I say? And he prayed to the God of heaven. Verse 7, the Bible says, Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given to me of the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. I find in these verses that Nehemiah not only had a vision and was burdened for the need, not only did he have a desire to do the work, but thirdly, he had a mind to trust the Lord. He had a mind to trust in the Lord. What a monumental and even daunting task that he was undertaking here, rebuilding the walls of the city. But you know what? Nehemiah wasn't fretting. He was simply obeying. When the king said, What is it that you ask of me? He prayed to the God of heaven. No doubt God answered him and told him what he should ask for. And he started asking for letters to be conveyed over the river till he comes to Judah. He asked for letters so that he could have timber to build the walls and the materials provided to do the work. He was simply obeying what God had said to him. And I'm sure there were natural thoughts in Nehemiah's mind. Maybe a thought like this: how am I going to get this job done? It's too big. Where am I going to get the materials that are needed? I don't have the resources. Who's going to help? I can't do it all by myself. What if things go wrong? That's a silly question, because things always go wrong. But Nehemiah still went, because he was trusting the Lord. You see, he was trusting the Lord in two areas here. First of all, he was trusting the Lord for provision. In verses 7 and 8, he asked the king for all the things that he needed. All the things he needed to build the wall. Was he trusting in the king to provide that? No, he was trusting in the Lord, because the end of verse 8 says that the king provided for him according to the good hand of his God upon him. Nehemiah was trusting in the Lord. It was God who was providing for the task. And maybe, listen, maybe there's one here tonight that God has been working in your heart. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you're struggling with these kinds of thoughts that maybe Nehemiah had. How's this job going to get done? Where am I going to get the materials? Who's going to help? Maybe you're having thoughts like this. I don't know if I can witness to that friend or that coworker. I don't know what to say. I don't know how they're going to respond. The answer is still the same. You've got to trust in the Lord, and we've got to obey. And the Lord will provide according to the good hand of the Lord. Maybe there's one here, and you know there's something the Lord has laid on your heart to do. Maybe He will lay something on your heart during the conference. But you're struggling over how in the world you're going to do it. Maybe you don't have the courage. Maybe you don't know what to say to witness to that coworker. Maybe God is working in someone's heart to surrender full time. And you're struggling with thoughts like, man, my life is really going to change. And you know what? Your life would change. But there's no better change that could happen to your life than to surrender to God's will for your life, to be in the very center of God's will for your life. There's no better change that could happen. It's a matter of yieldedness and a matter of a surrendered will and trusting God to provide. The Lord will provide everything because it's His work. All we need to do is just obey. Nehemiah said, I hadn't told anybody what God put in my heart to do. It was God who put it in his heart. It was also God who would provide. He trusted the Lord for provision, but he also trusted the Lord through the problems. Go to chapter 4, chapter 4, in verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Here we find that Nehemiah was trusting the Lord even through the problems. Here are those who would try to hinder the work. There were those who mocked them. There were those who actively tried to stop the work. And yet the Bible says that we made our prayer unto God and we set a watch and we kept on working. And the people had a mind to work. This vision that Nehemiah had, this burden that he had, it spread to the people. And they had a mind to work too. You know what? Problems are going to come because they always do. But Nehemiah's trust was in the Lord for the solution, and the work continued. And you know what? Anytime that you surrender your will to do the work of God, you're going to face opposition. We'll talk maybe more about this next time, next week. Opposition to the work. But let me make this application, then I'll close. You know what? God is sovereign. God can do whatever He wants to do with His servants. And if He allows a hardship in your life, or He asks something hard of you, just know and remember that God still will always provide for you. You know, I think of the missionaries, the evangelists that we support, and the things that they go through. We mentioned a couple even tonight, the Wyatts having to leave for all the violence and the upheaval and unrest. I think of Brother Kuzel not that long ago, who was attacked and could have easily died, and the nerves in his arms severed, and all the things that go with the challenges of work and ministry. I think of our own missionary, Brother Noah, over the years. Listen, folks, you don't even know half, probably, of the things that he has gone through, things that he's told me about that you don't know. Of times when his life has been in danger, and yet he faithfully serves the Lord, trusting the Lord day after day. Listen, if anybody would be discouraged in the work, it could be these. But if God chooses to allow a hardship or ask something that's hard, He'll also provide. I wonder if we're too soft sometimes. But if we are, it's simply because our eyes are not on the Lord and we're not trusting Him. And those of us who don't even have infirmities or don't have persecution, and yet we struggle to stay faithful to the Lord. Maybe that's the reason we do. Because we don't really have the persecution or the struggle. Let me conclude with this here tonight. The Lord may have spoken to your heart about something. But let me say to you, God shows us things for a reason. And we need to do something with it. It's not so we can be stirred in a moment and then leave. We need to do something with it. In Nehemiah's case, the job got done because he had a burden. He trusted God, and he had the mind to work. And I would simply say to you tonight, and the people had a mind to work, I would simply say to you tonight, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One last passage of Scripture and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider all that Christ has done for us. Consider all that he endured so that we could have life. Consider all that have gone before, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's not be weary. Let's have a mind to work. Let's trust in the Lord. And as we work our way through the month of May and leading into our missions conference, listen, make it personal in your own life, in your own heart. Lord, I don't want to be a delegator. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, if I can, I will. You show me what your will is. I'll just do anything. Put it in my heart. Lord, I open my heart. You just speak to me. Let that be in your mind and in your heart. Amen. Let's trust in the Lord and let's see him glorified through our church, through your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come to you tonight and pray that the Word of God is challenging to us, that causes us to think and to reflect and meditate, contemplate, evaluate our life. Lord, you desire to use your people and you desire to grow this body. You desire to use us as a mouthpiece, as a witness for Jesus Christ. You desire to bring much glory to yourself through your people. Lord, I pray that we would take an active part in that. And realize that, Lord, you want to glorify yourself through me, through my life. I'm yielded. I'm willing. Give me a vision. Burden my heart. Maybe burden my heart over a particular person. But I'm so burdened for their soul that it drives me to my knees. And I'm moved and stirred to do something about it. Lord, would you burden our heart for the people of Alaska to carry the gospel to them? That we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to give, we're willing to go, we're willing to labor. Maybe it's laboring here at home to facilitate so that others can go. But Lord, burden our heart that it causes us to pray to the God of heaven. And Lord, to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's